Hey everybody, it's Eric Clark from Alpha Brands. Just doing our quarterly earnings reviews. I'm going to do this one as a set because we own about 12% of the strategy of the Dynamic Brand strategy is in the alternatives leaders, you know, Blackstone, KKR, and Apollo. And since they're in the same industry, and largely, you know, operating in very similar ways, I'm just going to cover the three in one video. So it is November 8th, about 9:30 Pacific time. So just to remind people, we are thematic investors in the consumption theme. And consumption is more than just, you know, buying discretionary and staples items, right? We earn, we save, we spend as human beings, if you want to really make it simple. And we invest over time. And, you know, the high net worth industry, you know, you're talking, I mean, you get lots of different estimates, but let's just say it's north of $100 trillion. I mean, globally, it's a lot of money controlled by financial advisors working with high net worth and ultra high net worth investors. And there is this theme within in our industry, I see it every day, of, got to button up my shirt, my gosh, of assets migrating a little bit away from public markets, which, you know, candidly have become a little more casino-like, driven by algorithms and computers. In fact, 50% of the daily trading volume comes from non-humans. And in the options market, 50% of the daily trading volume is one day till expiration options, right? This is big casino action, which creates a lot of short-term volatility. You get a chance to take advantage of it, but it also can give people angst. And so, you know, we just see this huge opportunity with, you know, individuals with their advisors, and in some cases without advisors, understanding that they're missing a large part of the economy to invest in because they're not investing in private markets. Now, you have to give up, you have to be willing to give up some liquidity, but I would argue that's a good thing once you can wrap your head around that, because volatility creates angst. And when you have angst, you tend to make decisions that run counter to your long-term goals. And so if you can mitigate some of that volatility, then you stay in longer. And we know the longer you stay in, the better your returns are. And so I you know, sometimes this is, adding alts is a bit of a save me from myself strategy. And I always talk to advisors about that. If you have clients that hate volatility, really take their pulse on being willing to give up some liquidity, because you don't have to mark to market your assets. And there's plenty of people that mock that, but it is what it is. If you don't have to mark to market your assets, then your volatility is muted. And most clients like that. So whether it's in private equity or credit or infrastructure or whatever, you have the ability to mute volatility for clients. Forget about the potential upside of returns over public markets. Just the vol mitigation is a pretty powerful thematic within investment. So, you know, if you look at private markets today, we're talking, you know, $13 trillion or so. But when you compare that to public bonds and stocks, like $300 trillion, it's still a very small part of the overall investment universe. And institutions, as you probably know, have better performance than retail investors. That's pretty clear. One of the reasons is because they have 25 to 50% of their assets in privates, and things that historically speaking, individuals haven't really had access to or wanted access to. But with a lot of innovation in this category, there's now a lot of liquid funds that, you know, there's certainly some gating that's part of the definition. You have to be aware of what you can and can't do in these funds. But more and more, the alternatives and the private markets are blurring the lines between Publix from a paperwork perspective and things like that. And that's only going to drive more adoption at the retail level, which again is very underserved in this market. You know, the average high net worth investor probably has less than 5% in privates, if they have any at all. Most advisors don't use alts at all unless they're publicly traded alts. And my experience is most of those things don't work very well. So, you know, we really love the fact that institutions have and will continue to use alternatives, and individuals are rapidly adopting alts. First, it was real estate through Blackstone's BCRED, BREIT, and now it's private credit, which is really gathering a ton of assets. So, you know, there is just so much growth coming from the high net worth retail area, let alone all the things that are happening globally with the smartest and most, you know, the sovereign wealth funds and foundations, endowments, pensions, et cetera. There's just a lot of money going there. And that the good news about that is that when money goes to that market, a smaller group of firms like Blackstone, KKR, and Apollo, the names that we own, they get a disproportionate amount of those flows. And I'll talk about flows in a second. So, you know, in this thematic, one, it's growing; two, it's early days; three, there's a huge opportunity because a smaller group of businesses are gathering the bulk of the assets and therefore the fees, which will drive their stock prices. And they've been pretty darn good stocks to own. And here's the rub. Most investors don't own any exposure to privates in general or owning the actual beneficiaries of that, the stocks of Blackstone, KKR, and Apollo. So whether you buy them on your own or you buy them because we have a good allocation in the fund, at least you're getting some exposure to this important thematic. Again, private credit is where it's at now. That will change, but that's early days. You know, as banks kind of step out of that market and private lenders step in and fill a void, there's just a long runway for growth ahead just in private credit. And you can get some exceptional yields with muted volatility. I mean, look at the public markets and the volatility and interest rates. You know, your stable, predictable fixed income for the last 35, 40 years, that's changed a little bit. You haven't been getting as much total return, and the income has been incredibly, you know, the NAVs have been incredibly volatile with incomes being lower. Now, at least you're getting more income these days, but you're getting a lot more volatility than you're used to. And if that's a problem for you, then you may want to talk to your advisor about maybe getting some BCRED or some of the offerings from Apollo or KKR, because they're doing really well year to date and over the last 12 months. So if you look at the three companies we own, there are a lot of similarities, but there are some differences. Now, we own more Apollo than we do Blackstone and KKR. And right now, anyway, the reason is because Apollo is much more focused on the credit, the private credit opportunity, mostly investment grade, and they are innovating it to a large degree in a couple of interesting products. Ask your advisor about the AAA product, which is essentially trying to give you S&P, you know, equity returns with, you know, half the volatility, which is kind of the holy grail by doing it some interesting things in that fund. So over time, we see opportunity in the private equity and real estate recovery. But right now, it's clear just from an asset gathering, Apollo gathered $33 billion of new assets this quarter. Blackstone gathered $25 billion, KKR at $14 billion. And the vast majority of the money that's been deployed has been in private credit opportunities. So, and as well as infrastructure, all of the firms, primarily Blackstone and KKR, have some good infrastructure on a global basis, which tend to be pretty good inflation assets. But again, private credit is really crushing it right now. Blackstone Inc. Is rolling out their new BXPE product. It is a qualified purchaser fund that's taking all of the expertise that Blackstone has across secondaries and growth equities, et cetera, and putting it all in one fund. So that's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing how much money they raise. They have a pretty good push. I'm going to listen on Friday to their call. But bottom line here, from an earnings perspective, you know, Blackstone had a fine report because they have a trillion in assets. I think one of the things that people think that aren't kind of thinking clearly about in these companies, this isn't the old private equity, number one. And these companies have scaled. I mean, Apollo's $630 billion in assets. Blackstone's a trillion. KKR's about $528 billion. So that's a lot of quarterly fee revenue in good times and bad, right? You know, a lot of this money is perpetual capital that never leaves and just keeps getting recycled. So, you know, I'm just looking at my notes here. At Apollo, 55% of that AUM is perpetual, 38% is perpetual at Blackstone, and 39% is perpetual at KKR. So that's pretty sticky good fee revenue and a massive amount of dry powder. Now, Blackstone has $200 billion of dry powder just waiting to be put to work. Apollo, $59 billion, and KKR is $99 billion. So as far as the industry goes, there is a massive amount of dry powder just waiting to be put to work. And we kind of think, you know, the capital markets have been a little bit slow from the alternatives perspective. IPO market's been very slow. Buyouts have been very slow. There's a lot of uncertainty in corporate America. So when there's uncertainty and when there's the sellers that are still anchoring to yesterday's prices, you get kind of slow transaction volume. And so that's going to change. I think next year, we're going to see a lot more volume, which will allow these companies to put that money to work. And the benefit is when they put that money to work, then they can start earning the right to charge fees. So all of these companies are going to have a meaningful step up in their, you know, in their fee revenue, in their distributable earnings, and in Apollo's case, their spread related earnings. That's going to translate into better earnings reports, which we know correlates to better stock prices. So, you know, in some ways, these firms have performed really well year to date, handily outperforming the S&P 500. But that's before a real renaissance in their businesses has occurred. So we think there's some meaningful step ups and good growth in the stocks, at least 25% across the board over, you know, going forward. I'm not going to sit and say, well, they're all going to be up 25% next year. I don't know the future any more than anybody else, but I do know that at a time when a lot of companies are going to see some slowing earnings over the next 12 months, this category, in my opinion, is stable, fairly predictable because of the fee revenue they have. Plus, when they get a chance to put that dry powder to work, you know, Blackstone, for instance, yields 3.2 currently, but that's a bit of a depressed number. Over the next 3 to 5 years, you're going to see that the dividend is tied to distributable earnings. And so as that recovers, we believe it's already at a trough, the dividend's going to go higher. So you're going to get, not only are you going to get a 3.2% dividend today, if you buy the stock at $100 or wherever it is, you're going to get solid dividend growth. Plus, these guys are the smartest people in the room, people. They have access to information that we do not have because they're private market investors. You know, Blackstone owns like 200 plus companies. So you get a lot of data from these businesses. And when you have great data, you can make better decisions. And when you make better decisions as an investor, you make more money. And that translates into happy customers, better profits at the GP level, better stock prices. So all in all, we love the thematic. It's early days on the retail side in the adoption. Global investors are smart. Institutional investors are still continuing to put money in these, albeit a little bit slower because they really put a lot of money in over the last 10 years. And that's going to translate into, you know, good earnings, good dividend growth. They're all buying back their stock opportunistically when they can. And, you know, these stocks are not cheap. They're not expensive. I mean, Apollo, you know, Apollo gets a lower multiple because they have a big annuity business and insurance business, but they don't get returns of a typical insurance company. They get returns of a private equity company, and yet they have a traded a 9 multiple, which is ridiculous. So we see big upside for Apollo. I think they're the smartest people. I have a big bias. Mark Rowan, who's the CEO of Apollo, one of the founders, I think is incredibly smart and strategic. And I would say that I think he and his team may be more savvy than the folks at some of the other firms. So that's why, one, they're in the right place at the right time. And two, I think they're just much more thoughtful about how they grow. And I just think they're the cheapest company in the group. And that's why we have an overweight position relative to the others. But they all tend to trade together. They go up and they go down together. And they give you some interesting diversification in there. So long story short, we love the alts. We love the opportunity over the next couple of years as they put that dry powder to work. They're not cheap. They're not expensive stocks. And they have a massive amount of dry powder to put to work if and when we do get some dislocations. And we always do sometimes. And if you're not good at buying on dips when there's dislocations, then turn the money over to the smartest people in the room. They are great at buying when there's dislocations and getting good cheap prices for their LPs. And when their LPs make money, what do? They put more money in these firms and allow them to grow. So Blackstone's at $1 trillion in assets on its way to 2. KKR and Apollo at 630 and 500 going to $1 trillion next. And over time, they'll be at 2 trillion. I just think these things can double their AUM and therefore fee revenue over time. And that should translate well into great stock appreciation. And they historically have done well and added alpha over the S&P 500. And again, nobody owns them. I challenge you to find a fund. KKR is owned in some good blend and value funds, but most of these stocks are not broadly owned, which is great because when you're not broadly owned and your business is doing well, somehow they just find buyers. And the thing that makes stocks go up, more buyers than sellers. Okay, everybody, thanks a lot for your time.